Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just love You. We know that You love each one of us, Lord. And we come to You this day with a grateful heart, Lord. We come to You this day with a thankful heart. Lord, You are so good to us, Lord. And as I look around and I see those that are here with their spouses, Lord, thank You for marriages, Lord. Thank You for the place that You hold in each marriage, Lord. Without You, our marriages would not really survive. So we thank You, Lord, for what You've done. We ask that You would just bless this day, Lord. Bless every person here, Lord. And thank You. And now we can go into worship. Amen. As we said earlier, we're going to have a communion in a little while. And, of course, a lot more to come with that. And Connie and Rick, they have asked, they wanted certain things to kind of be mentioned during this time. And so one of the things that she wanted me to mention was something in relations to the Bride of Christ. And so I have just a short thing to say on that. And it says, we as believers of Jesus, we are the Bride of Christ. Is that correct? The church, that's you and that's me, is comprised of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and have received eternal life. So whether male or female, He is the bridegroom. And His desire is to have an intimate relationship with His bride. I hope you understand that. You know, it isn't just formalities. It isn't just tradition. Intimacy is where we should be with Christ. And just as we'll go throughout our time here today, those things that sometimes we can relate with our husbands or our wives, sometimes maybe we don't think about that with Jesus, but that's exactly where we should be with Him. Intimacy, understanding His love. So whether you're male or female, He's a bridegroom, and He has a desire to have an intimate relationship with His bride. Now, you don't have to have a spouse, but today is a great opportunity that we can renew our vows with our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So part of what I still need to share with what Connie has said, she wanted me to give you the opportunity as we read the prayer of salvation. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And for the most part, I know that, you know, probably if not 100%, pretty close to it, you've already gone through this. You've already went through a time where you gave your life to Christ. But just as we're going to do today, it's kind of a refreshing, a renewal, a reminder, if you want to say. And even sometimes when we do baptisms, that's one of the things that we bring out, is that this is a time, if you want to get rebaptized, this is a time just of understanding that you would do it again, knowing that day that you gave your life to Christ was, I got to admit, and it sounds kind of weird, but it was better than when you gave your life to your wife or your husband. It is, you know. That should be the best day in your life when you knew that He was your Lord and Savior. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a salvation prayer, and you guys can repeat after me as I speak it. And again, I know that you've been through this, and then right after that, we'll have communion. Okay, so just pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Your precious blood washes me clean of every sin. You are my Lord and Savior, now and forever. I believe that You rose from the dead and that You are now alive today. Because of your finished work, I am now yours, and nothing can separate me from your love. Thank you for giving me eternal life, filling my heart with your peace and your joy. Amen. And whether it's a time during communion, whether it's the time during the vows, at some point, just get quietly with God and just show him your heart. He'll show you his. So let's go into communion. Okay. So on the day that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples, and after giving thanks, he took the bread and he gave it to his disciples, and he told them that this is his body that was broken. It was broken for all of us so that we could be whole. And so please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup. He said that this was a symbol of it. It's a symbol of his blood, the blood that he shared on that cross. And I always like to see that image of him being on that cross. And from the time that that crown of thorns was placed on his head to the time that they drove those nails in his feet, every part of his body, he gave that blood so that we would have eternal life. Please take the cup. And just take a moment, just take a minute, quiet, and just focus on him. Focus on what we've just done today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
How many of you know that it doesn't matter how dry, how dead something feels? When we commune with God and we allow him to do things within our lives, that's where we see change happen. And that's what this is talking about. And here in this time of communion, this is where the dead things come back to living. This time with you, the time I'm spending just right here, you and me, this is where it all comes back to life. It doesn't matter if I feel like it's on its last leg. It doesn't matter if I feel like there is no way to fix the problem. If I trust in you, man, he makes those dry bones rattle. He brings them back to life. It doesn't matter what situations that you're in. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Stand on the promises that he's given you, because those promises are yes and amen in all things. He's waiting and he's ready. He's waiting for you to stop trying to fix it yourself and say, God, I just need you. That's it. That's all we got to do, is stop looking for a solution on our own and just start looking to God. It's the answer to every single thing that you face.
The other day, I was reading my Bible, and I got Psalms 51:10. If you're able to read it in English, please get it, because I'm going to read it in Spanish. I'm sorry about it. Say, cree en mí, oh Dios, un corazón limpio. Y renueva un espíritu recto dentro de mí. No me eches delante de ti. Y no quites de mí tu Santo Espíritu. I ask the Lord every day, and I pray this every day. And I ask him to don't let me go every morning. And I ask to never let me go, because it's one of my prayers. I want to be with him every day. And I got this one, and I said, thank you, Lord, for be your child every day.
I don't know who, but it's just a continuous through all of worship. I've just heard it, and I know I said it, but don't stop worshiping God just because you've hit a hard moment. That's a part of the waiting, is learning to just rest in him through situations that are happening. And can I tell you that it's the best place that you can be, no matter how crazy everything is around you. To stay focused on him is exactly what you need in that moment. And I feel like what he's saying is, you've praised me in the high, and I have prepared you for what's to come. Now praise me in the lows, because I'm fighting the battle for you, and victory is already yours. So don't look like you've been defeated, but praise what you already know that I've done.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Let's just stand up. I'm going to get you to stand up one more time, because I'm going to start preaching at you, and I don't want you to fall asleep so quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just give him a praise and the glory. Father, we thank you one more time, God, this morning. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to know you and to know you well. You've given us, you've opened the door for us to enter into your throne room, Father God, and to talk with you and for you to talk with us, Lord. Father, it's so important that we hear you speaking to us this morning. So, Father, as we come to you this morning, and as I open the word of God, Father, I ask you to quicken me. I ask you, Lord, to give me words that I should speak as I ought to speak, Father. Father, that I might minister every heart. Father, you know that person that's drawn close to you and what they need and what, the thing that will touch them the most this morning, you know what it is. And Father, that one that has drawn away from you, though they might not say it this morning, they might not even admit it, Father, but they know in their heart they've gotten away from you. Father, I pray that the words that are spoken this morning would draw them back. God, you are a great God. And Father God, you have great things for your people. So we pray, Father God, that you would, Father, touch every heart in the house this morning. Touch every heart, Lord. Strengthen and build them, Father. We're not here to tear them down, Father. And I know you don't want us to tear them down, but you want us to build them, Father. So, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Everybody run around the building real quick. No, I'm just kidding. Shake your hand and say hi to everybody. Just one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for taking the keyboards. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can tell her. You can hug a neck. That'll be a word for us. And hug a neck. It's time to hug a neck. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew. If you will, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to try not to keep you here too long. Is that okay? You guys okay with that? Yeah, well, three of you, 4K. Try not to keep you very long. Let me see, I'm not sure what time it is, which is good. I see it's 11:30. I'm at 11:22. Hallelujah, we'll be done by 2:22.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. No, I wouldn't do that to you. Hallelujah. I think the Holy Spirit knows how to minister to his people. Amen. Hallelujah. Like they say that the heart can stand only as much as the seat can stand or something like that, or seat can take. I don't know, whatever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 1, it says, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. Remember, everybody say tempting him. They were trying to catch him. How many say amen? They're trying to make this holy man look dumb. Is that right? Ooh, they don't know that they're dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're dealing with something they've never known and understood. How many say amen? They got no idea who they're dealing with. Can you say amen to that? Doesn't that get you excited? I get excited when somebody thinks they know it all. How many of you know any know-it-alls in here? Anybody? They think they know it all, but they got no idea what Jesus is and who he is and what he's trying to do today. I get excited. So these Pharisees, they were tempting him with this question. They said to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? How many? Everybody tell me the answer. No. Everybody say no. You know, folks, we're living in a world, man, divorce is rampant. How many say amen to that? And it's not just out there in the world. It's also people in the church divorcing and getting divorced and remarrying and getting divorced. And you know, I mean, you know what? There comes a time when God says, hey, man, that's got to stop. Amen?
Amen.
You don't understand what's happening. You don't understand what you're going through. Hallelujah. What you're taking yourself through. How many know divorce is hard? Amen? Do you know that divorce is a tearing thing? Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 50 years. Come on, man.
Yeah.
50 years. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's as good as it was. Isn't right, Rick? Connie? It's better. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys have gone through some things. Amen. You've grown into some things. How many say amen? You guys know that, honey. God has taught you some things. Rick, God has taught you about Connie, hadn't she? Hadn't he? Connie, God's taught you some stuff about Rick, huh? You didn't know that stuff before you married him, did you? You said, holy moly, what did I marry here? Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good man. Amen. Come on, Rick. He's a good man. Praise God. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. Everybody say one flesh.
One flesh.
The title of the message today is One Flesh. It's not just one flesh. It is the blessing of marriage. How many say amen? One flesh is a blessing of marriage. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Amen? Oh, come on. You guys are looking all, yeah. Oh, you're not talking about it. Sometimes it don't seem like it. But one flesh is absolutely a blessing. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Wherefore, they that are no more twain but one flesh, what? Therefore, God is joined together. Let not man put asunder. I want you to notice how quickly Jesus takes those guys to, have you not read? Amen? Have you not read? Jesus always quoted his word. Amen?
Amen?
He always spoke in his word. He always gave them words. The things that we look at, the things that we look in the New Testament, Jesus is speaking a lot of those things, and he's opening these things up because he wants us to understand him, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. How many say amen to that? And Jesus said, no, it's not right that men and women have divorce. It's not right. Yet it happens. How many say amen? Because there might be some folks in here, I got to just ease your mind. Sometimes there's folks in here that they've been through divorce and everything. They know just how hard it is. They know exactly the tearing that it is. And God loves you and he cares about you.
Once you've heard that God, how he feels about divorce, that should keep you far from it. How many like the D word in your house? I don't even let it in my house. I'm surprised I'm even saying it today because I just don't like the word. To me, it's a separation, and God never calls separation into his people. He's always brought, like, together. Let's get together. Families together. Mothers and dads and sons and daughters, bring them together, and let's find out what God has for us. Amen? He's always a, let's gather them. Hallelujah. He's never a separator. Amen? That D word separates. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, hey, man, from the beginning. So, folks, we're going to go to the beginning. And when I finish with Revelation, you guys should have enough word in you today that yeah, it's scaring you. Some folks go, man, I've been here. First time I've been here. And you're already getting that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Jesus said that they were created male and female. I want you to look at this scripture because Genesis chapter 1 talks about God. So let's make them in our image. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are having a cabinet meeting, or they're having a meeting. They said, let's make man in our own image. So they make man in his own image. And verse 27 says this. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. Amen? In his image, he created them, male and female. Cool, huh? Look at your neighbor and say, you are created in the image of God. Just look at him, say that to him. Look at the one on the other side, say, hey, you too are created in the image of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Go home and look in a mirror and tell yourself, hey, you're created in the image of God. You are, because this is what God's word says about it. Is that right? We, men and women, even today, are created in the image of God. It's cool. So Genesis chapter 2 kind of tells the story about how God created man and woman. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to start at verse 2. No, I'm sorry. In verse 15 and go to 25. So we're going to start at 15. Genesis 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Notice that it doesn't say he took the man and the woman. Is that okay? He took the man. God made one man. Amen. But didn't it just say that he made a male and female? He did. But that's kind of a recap of what happens, of how he did. It's kind of a four story of chapter two. But he says this, the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. Listen, here's the command, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely what?
Die.
Everybody say die.
Die.
They say aloud, die. Die. You will die the day you eat there. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Guys, aren't you glad it says it's not good that we should be alone? Is that right?
Yes.
God is declaring something here. He's saying, I'm going to create a woman for him, but she, you know, he might not even know how much he needs a woman. Is that okay? It's cool. It really is. I mean, so it's not good that the man should dwell alone. He says, I will make him a helpmeet for him, someone to help him. Thank you. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Do you see that?
Yeah.
You see, he says, hey, God says, hey, I'm going to make him a helpmeet for him. But does he go right away to make him a helpmeet, a woman? What does he do? He says, you know what? God, it's almost like God changes his mind. You know what? I think I'll make the animals first.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Adam? Hey, God, wait a minute. You said you're going to make me a helper. I could use some help trimming the trees in the garden, God. I'm going to make some animals first. How many know God made a lot of animals?
Yep.
You know, birds?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff in the sea?
Yep.
Bottom feeders? Shrimp? lobster, the stuff we like to eat. Anyway, you didn't get that. My wife's going, Henry, shut up. And he says, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And that, you see that? He brought them to Adam. Say, what are you going to call them, Adam? Let's see what you will call them. This word, see, if you look it up, it's a revelatory word. It's a word that means revelation. God wants to reveal to Adam what he wants to call those animals. Do you know that God used Adam to name all these things, but Adam wasn't naming them. Adam was hearing their names. Is that okay? How many of you know it'd be hard to, you know, you've heard before, he started out with hippopotamus and elephant and ended up with dog, cat, ape. I'm tired, God, okay? Yeah, big names to little tiny names. But see, God was talking to Adam and telling him this is a giraffe. Adam would see what God was saying, so that's a giraffe. God was teaching Adam how to hear him. Is that okay? How many know we need to know how to hear him? Adam's in this garden. He's by himself, except for him and God. And God is saying, look, I got to teach you how to hear me. You see why God kind of stopped the making Eve? Because God was teaching them, man. He said, look, you got to hear me. And me, like, this is a good word for you. You got to hear God. Other voices can kind of take you astray. Can you say amen? Other places, other voices in your heart and your head can move you in different directions, but you got to hear God. So here God is teaching him the names of the animals, and Adam's picking up on it. Okay, got it. That's a pelican. Okay, got it. That's a rooster. Got it, God. That's a peacock. Amen? Got it. God is saying peacock. Ooh. I love the connection with God and his man. Amen? And he wants that same connection with us. So he brings them all to him to see what he called them. And whatsoever Adam called them, called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, all the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. And then it says this, but for Adam, there was not a help meet for him. See, I think Adam was getting the idea that there's a male and a female of all these animals. There's a male and a female of all these birds. I think Adam might begin, but there is no help meet for Adam. But God had already said it's not good that the man dwell alone. Were the animals going to take that place? Absolutely not. Even though the garden was filled with animals, Adam can play with them all day long and play with the cats, play with the dogs, play with the lions. He could do anything he wanted to do with these animals, yet there was not one for him. So the Bible says here, it says, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. This is the first surgery ever. He slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, whoa, right? And Adam said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman. She shall be called woman. Because she was taken out of man. How do you know? He was asleep. Amen? How do you know? How do you know she was bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh? Folks, the same story is Revelation. God speaking to him. Bone of bone, flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And the word of God says here, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not what? Ashamed. There was no shame. I mean, no, there's no shame in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus already bore the shame of all his people. I mean, say amen to that. Yes, amen. You can move out of things if you just realize that God already took that shame. Just get out of it. Amen? People get stuck in things because they say, I'm ashamed. Get out of it. God already took that shame. He paid the price for you to be out of it, so get out of it. Amen? But notice what it says here. Adam says, shall be, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they will be called one flesh. How did he know? Where was he getting these words from? He was not making them up. He was getting them from the Father. The Father was using Adam to pronounce things. Do you see that? God always needs a man on the earth to pronounce things, because he's given the earth to him. Before, God had given him the earth. Take dominion over it. Subdue it. God is now using Adam to speak his word, because you got to admit, God didn't know what a mom was. Adam didn't know what a mom was. Amen?
Amen.
Where do you get that from? It had to come from God. So the same word that followed, for this cause shall a man cleave to his wife, and they too shall become what? One flesh. That's God's blessing upon marriage. How many know that God made marriage? How many know that's God's idea?
Hallelujah.
Is that right? How many know that sex is God's idea?
Yep.
Yeah, you go, huh? What? Yeah, ooh, what? We spend our life, we tell our teenagers, look, sex, it's gross, it's nasty. Wait till you're married. What kind of a thing is that? Amen? I like being a youth pastor. I love doing it. Hallelujah. You got to talk to them about the Lord. Train them up in the Lord. Amen. Don't just say you can't do it. Give them a reason why they can't do it. Amen. Give them a reason why. Hey, God wants you to wait for the one he has for you. Give them a reason why. Don't have sex. Amen. There's a reason why God says don't have sex. The reason why he calls it fornication. Amen. Because it's designed for a man and a woman under the covenant of marriage. It gives God the ability to bring them into one flesh. How many say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But something, how many know something happened in the garden? Yeah. Adam and Eve, they're having a good time, man. They love each other. Amen? Yep. Amen. Adam said, hey, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to clean up around this strawberry patch, okay? And Eve says, okay, I'm going to go over here by this tree back here. I'm going to clean by. Hey, stay away from that. Other, you know, the tree God's talking to you about? Yeah, stay away from that. All right, I will. But the serpent shows up and she says, hey, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. Eve's immediate answer should have been, I'm already like God. I'm in his image. How much more can I be like him? What are you telling me? You're lying to me. You're saying something that, no, that got him. No, she didn't say that. How many say, man? I say, ooh, that is nice fruit, isn't it? Well, you can take a bite of it and it won't hurt you. Ooh, well, I don't know. You know, let me see. Let me check with my husband. She didn't check with him, did she? She took it to him and said, hey, take a bite of this. He takes a bite of it. He knew he was wrong. Amen? Can't blame the woman. Amen? Ladies, that's your chance. Come on, man. Can't blame the woman. He knew what he was doing. He knew that God had told them, any of the trees you can have, but from that tree back there, you can't have it. And he called it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they partake and they find out, they see the shame of one another. So they put clothes on each other with some leaves. They put leaves together and put clothes on. God's looking for them in the garden and they're hiding. Amen. Shame will cause you to hide. Is that right? Shame will cause you to hide. Gotta get out of here. So God pronounces, because what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to tell you right off the bat that I'm going to say some things, and ladies, I'm not blaming you for nothing. Okay, can you say amen to that? The Word of God says we can't blame anybody, can't blame one or the other. Amen. But what I want you to see is the curse that God places on the enemy And the things that transpire after that, when that God speaks to the man and the woman, which are things that are because of sin, because of what sin has done, has caused a separation. How many say amen? How many know that there was a sword placed, a flaming sword placed at the garden to keep the men and women out? To keep the man and his wife out. How many know that? See, because a separation happened when they partook of that fruit, when they did what God told them not to do, when they weren't obedient. Is that okay? I don't know how many other ways I can say it. When they disobeyed, when they sinned, God created a separation. Isn't that crazy? But here's the words that he tells, you know, this is, he tells Adam this. I'm going to start with Adam, and I don't think I gave it to you guys, man, so I'm just going to start with Adam. So don't worry about it. You don't have to put it up. You can just listen to me on this. Starts with Adam. He said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Uh-oh. Amen? You guys awake out there? Yeah. Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree, which I commanded you not, that you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. So here, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it'll bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. Verse 19 says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. This is the curse. Is that right? How many say yes? That's the curse. This is what he spoke to Adam. Here's what he spoke to Eve, and this is what I want to get you. What I want you to hear, ladies, because you know I'm going to say this to you. Make sure you understand that I'm just telling you, giving you truth. I'm not trying to blame you for anything. Is that okay? You guys, ladies, go like this. Yeah, it's fine. Look, don't get angry at me, because I will tell you, I spoke this one day at a church, and the ladies all got mad at me. Because immediately they weren't listening to what I was trying to say. As soon as it said it, they said, oh, what? No way, you know. And so, and I there was no way, nothing I could say afterwards. Is that okay? But so I'm going to tell you, listen to what I'm saying to you, because this is what God's word says. Is that okay? See, I'm not going to try to make this stuff up. I'm going to give you what God's word says. So unto the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. Does that happen? Oh, yeah. Come on, man. Is that right? He says this, in sorrow you shall bring forth children. And then he said this, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? Your desire shall be towards your husband. But I will tell you that it doesn't mean what we think about, what we think it means. We think that, well, my desire is going to be toward my husband, and he's going to reign over me. What he's talking about is the woman will want to rule the man. Do you understand that? How many say, well, I don't know. He's talking about, hey, you're going to want to rule your husband, but he's going to rule over you. I'm going to give you another example. How many know Cain and Abel? You know, first kids, amen? The two kids. Abel was the younger. Cain was the older. Cain worked out in the fields, grew vegetables. Abel raised sheep. He was a husbandman with animals. That was his job. So when they went to take a sacrifice to God, Cain took of his vegetables. He brought God squash. How's that sound? Lettuce, tomatoes, all the stuff you guys want on your sub sandwich. He brought all that to God. Abel sacrificed a sheep and brought it to God. And the Bible says that God had more respect to Abel's gift than he did to Cain's gift. How many say amen? Because what Abel did represented something. Amen? It represented the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So God had respect to that. God wasn't trying to play favorites. How many say amen? God just, oh, I like your sacrifice. I like what you brought, Abel. Did good. Cain's going, what the heck? What about my veggies? God says, oh, they're good. But the Bible says, watch this. This is what the Bible says. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He got mad. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? Verse 7 says, if you do well, you shall you not be accepted? God was saying, hey, you did okay. You did, you're accepted. He said, and if you do us not well, sin lies at the door, he tells him. And then God says this to him, and unto you shall be his desire, but you will rule over him. You see that? God even told Abel, he said, Cain, he said, look, your brother's going to want to rule you because you're the firstborn. But you're going to rule over him because you are the firstborn. This is what God was telling him. It's the same wording that God gave Eve. Your desire will be to rule over him. But he's going to rule over you. Because that's the way God set it up. Do you know that? How many need to say amen to that? How many know that God set it up that the man should rule the house? Is that okay? So I know, looks like maybe the lady's going, well, huh? I'm not hearing another thing. This is a lying preacher. No. See, out of this part of the curse stems a lot of things like women's lib, stems a lot of things like how you can see it on, if you watch TV, you can see it on the screen, how the men are the idiots. And the women are the smart ones. I will say this to you, it's part of the curse, and it's the way the world operates. Do you understand that? It's crazy. Some of you might say, well, I've never seen that before. I would say, when God showed it to me and I blurted it out, boy, I got in trouble. My pastor thought, don't you ever say that again, man. You got some ladies upset. But see, you got to understand what God is saying here. Because of the fall, the woman tries to rule the man. And it should never be that way. Hallelujah. Almost done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So who's the boss? God is the boss. That's that. Who's the boss? God. The Lord is the boss. How many know that God is in every... If you got married... If you went and stood before a pastor, preacher, and everything, even a judge, God is still the witness in your marriage. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Is that okay? Yes. Just because you know, because marriage is a word that God says, only I can do it. How many know that God's the only one that can bring two separate people together and bring them and make them one? How many know that? Yes. Difficult. Can I tell you it's difficult? I don't care what dating website you go to and they tell you how compatible you are with this other person. Hard to get two people that we're all, how many of you know that we are like all, you know, I never have a chance to look at snowflakes to see how different they are from one another and try to find a match. They all melt before I get a chance. But that's the way we are all different, folks. So in the marriage covenant, God is taking two completely different beings and making them to one. Is that okay? That's what he does in marriage. How does he do it? Got no idea. He does it different with a lot of folks. Is that right? But I can tell you the hard things you go through are some of the things that will strengthen your marriage make it stronger and stronger. Amen? How many have been through some hard stuff? Some of those are, you've been through some things. And it's so good to have that husband or that wife that's right there praying with you about those things you're going through. Amen? So good. His desire is to bring you into unity, you two. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus is the boss. The Lord is the boss. The Word of God says in Galatians 3:13 says this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How many say amen? That thing that God spoke to Adam and Eve in the beginning has been annihilated. How many say amen? It's been pushed out. It's been overrun. It's been washed away. I got to tell you, you got to understand what God is saying in this. And so the marriage covenant can be so much more what God intended today than it could have been a long time ago before Jesus died. Do you know that? It can be so much more now today because of the redemptive value of the blood of Jesus Christ, how God redeems and makes it the way he intended it to be. Whew, hallelujah. I don't know. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. I need to check that out. It says, the word of God says in Ephesians 5. We'll get there. It's coming. Wait for it. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. You guys good with that? All right, let's go home. So what? It says, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Folks, you got to understand this, because later on in this, she's going to tell you that marriage is a great mystery. It really is. It is a reflection of your relationship with God, just like Connie would say. It's a reflection of the relationship that God has with his people. It's a reflection of that relationship, how God wants to be your husband. How many say amen to that? Amen. Woo, man, yeah. Hey, you don't like me? You get to know my husband. Amen? Come on. You got something to say? Yeah, say it to my husband. Yeah, come on, man. Amen? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Listen, folks. Listen, ladies. You know, hey, this is what God's word says. Okay? Just receive what God's word is saying. And then he said, he's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in what? Some things.
Everything.
Some things. Couple of things. Are you meaning even that thing? Yeah, that thing. Because it says all things. Is that right?
Yes.
All things, that the wives be subject to their own husband. And it says as husbands, this is to the guys. Love your wives. Period. Is there a period on the end of that? No, it's a comma. I'm sorry. Okay. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that right?
Amen.
How many of you know that the wife is to be watched over by the husband? Do you know that? The husband is to watch over the wife. Ladies, don't make it hard for him. Amen? Come on. Guys, love the wife. Place your love on her. Is that right? Love covers a multitude of what? Yeah. Isn't that right, John? Isn't that right, Terry? Bro, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water, what? By the word. Husbands, whatever God speaks to you in your prayer closet, when you're going down the road, you're at the work and God speaks to your mind about something, share it with your wife. Amen? It's the word of God. It's God's illumination in your life. Share it with your wife. Let them be the first one that you share everything with. When God reveals something to you in his word, go to your wife immediately. Is that okay? Because what he's doing, he's making one flesh out of you. The washing of water by the word. When I got saved, it's been a while now. And I'd gone to a Promise Keepers meeting in California. And one of the things I had been praying, because every time I tried to minister to my wife, and I know none of you go through this, she would go, she'd like, "What am I doing now?" I said, "Babe, I just want to share a word with you." "Oh, yeah, okay, you're trying to change me. What am I doing now?" Come on, man. And she would get upset at me. None of you go through that stuff, do you? I said, "Hey, babe, I got a word. Let me look at this word up. What did I do?" "No, babe, you didn't do nothing. I just want to share this with you." "Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know." And, you know, "I love you, babe." So I went to Promise Keepers, and I've been saying, "Lord, I don't know how to minister to my wife. She gets upset at me when I'm just trying to share something, and I don't know how to get past that. How do I get past that?" So Promise Keepers, if any of you guys knew, it was a men's event, and they had the Maranatha praise band there with the men singing, and so it was up at that time it was called Bank One Ballpark, but now I think it's Chase Stadium now or something like that in Phoenix. And it was a beautiful night, and the band had just started playing, man, and guys are worshiping, and there's a real neat sound that comes out of a lot of just men worshiping. Is that right? It's cool, man. It sounds so nice, and it's going good, man. Yeah, and everybody's, and we're in a stadium, and it's packed. And all of a sudden, somebody decides, "Hey, I'm going to open the roof." So the roof opens up, and the full moon is sitting right there, and it's beautiful. And I'm saying, "Praise God, hey, this is like heaven on earth." Can I tell you that? It was this got to be heaven. Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. No, never mind. Anyway, I'm praising God, and all of a sudden, I lost my hearing. Not something you want to do in a men's, but I lost my hearing, and I go, everything just went quiet. And I'm looking around. Guys around me are singing. You can see them. The tears are rolling down. I'm looking around. You can see the band playing and everything. I can't hear anything. It's starting to get a little weird. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And then I heard the Lord speak. He said, "Henry, this year, you will begin to minister to your wife." And I started weeping, and all the noise came back in, and I'm crying, man. I had a good time. I got home, man. I told Rosie, "Hey, come here, babe. God, you know, what did I do now? What'd you learn up there?" I said, "Oh, yeah, it was sometime this year you will begin to minister to your wife." And I said, "Oh, okay, I get it." See, God wants men. He wants you to minister to your wife. Ladies, he wants you to minister to your husband. What God shows you, run to him with it. Say, "Look, at this is what God's word, this is what God's telling me." How many say amen to that? Because there's something about God's word that begins to cement a marriage together. Your marriage needs to be washed with the water of the word. Not with the spirit of Netflix, but with the water of the word. You let your spirits become one. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. God wants to do that for you. Nobody else can do it. You can't even do it. Can you say amen to that? You don't have the ability. You don't know enough about your wife to be able to speak into her life. But God does. Isn't that cool? He knows it all. He knows why they say what they say. He knows why they act the way they act. Ladies, the same with your husband. God knows why he acts that way. And he will minister to you to minister to that. Is that okay? It's marriage. And God is full intent on being in your marriage. In your marriage. Not off to the side, not over there. In your marriage. Hallelujah. So I'm going to keep reading here. He takes the church and he washes her by the water of the word. And he says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How many say amen? How many know that God is making you holy and without blemish? How many know that he's making you without wrinkles? No wrinkles. Amen?
No
I'm going to even say, man, hey, put a bumper sticker on your car. There's no wrinkles in this car. Amen. No spots either. Amen. Hallelujah. None of that nonsense, because I serve the living God. And that's what he says. No spot, no wrinkle, no such thing. But it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. How? The way Jesus died for the church. When you hear somebody in your house at night, don't send your wife out there, guys. Say, honey, grab the shotgun and run out there. No. You say, stay here. I'll be right back. Amen? Come on, man. Take hold of it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves what? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Who's talking? God is saying this through the Apostle Paul. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. That's why you get in front of the mirror, guys, and you're going like this. Wow. Looking pretty good still. Yeah, right? No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his, what?
Body,
and we are members one of another. You know that. Of his body, of his
flesh,
and of his bones. Does this remind you of what God said in the beginning? Your body, your flesh of my flesh, bones of my bones. Do you get it? Do you get it? We are in the image of God, even down to the flesh, the bones, the image of God. Whew. Oh, you got to get it. Anyway, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and let see that the wife, she reverence her husband. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Marriage. Married. Marriage, where God places two together and he makes something very beautiful. He makes them one flesh. Is that cool? That's his intent. He said it from the beginning. In the garden, before anything happened, he told them, I'm going to make you guys one flesh. It's cool, man. First Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 says this, talking about the women adorning themselves not with fancy hair and gold up to their armpits. That doesn't sound good, does it? Okay, gold up to their elbows. How's that? But, you know, but he says, but this is how you should adorn yourself. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Amen? For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. How many ladies call your husbands Lord? No, okay. That's okay. You don't have to do that. That's just Old Testament. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord said, who are you talking about? Yeah. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Daughters, you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And then this verse 7 says, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. No, okay. Know some things. God needs you to know some things, that you're the husband of the wife. You're the care. You care over, you protect her. You're the protector, and you watch over her, and you speak into her. And it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Don't let that bother you, ladies, because you guys are building up one another. And then it says, and being heirs together of the grace of life. You see that word? Heirs together of the grace of life. Grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in your life. Your reflection will be of life. Do you see that? Grace together in the grace of life. Heirs together in grace of life. That, and then it says this, which is very key, that your prayers be not hindered. The Word of God, God's Word says that, it says right here, Peter's mentioning something. He says, your prayers can get hindered if husbands, if you don't do this. Wives, if you don't do this, your prayers can actually be hindered. Do you know that the Word of God says that if two of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done for you? Is that what the Word of God says? It says that. Jesus said that. How much if a husband and a wife will agree in everything? Yeah, they might not. Well, I don't. Rosie and I were trying to buy a car one time, and she liked this sporty little Grand Am. I liked this long Ford Lincoln station wagon. I can't remember what it was, but it's big. She goes, that's too big. I said, well, that's too little. So I said, okay, let's drive yours. So we took it for a ride, and it sounded, you could hear the road, the highway like air. I said, man, is this what you want? She goes, well, I don't know. But we kept looking at a car as we walked by it. It was this nice Oldsmobile. How many of you guys remember Oldsmobiles? Anybody remember Oldsmobiles? They don't make them anymore, I guess. I don't know. You don't see very many. But this Oldsmobile was this Delta. It was a 1988 Delta 88. And it was sweet. And it was late. And I had already told God, if we don't find a car tonight, I guess you just want us to keep the one we got, which was an old station wagon, Pontiac station wagon, that used a lot of gas back in the 80s. Anyway. So we kept looking at this car, and I go, hey, I like this car. And she says, I like it too. Hey, guess what? We're agreeing on this car. They say, yeah, we both like this car. Hey, how much is it? The guy goes, it's too much for what you guys told us. Because we told him what we could afford. And he goes, well, it's too much for what you guys want. You guys need to look at that grand. Take that grand out. No, hey, can we look at this? Can we find out what this one costs and everything? He goes, well, I'll go talk to my boss. He goes and talks to his boss, comes out. And he says, you know, he kept telling us it was too much unit for us. When he went to talk to his boss, Rosie and I, we prayed over it. Said, Lord, if this is a car, we just want you to help us with it. So then he came out, and he goes, something funny happened in there. How many say amen? Something funny can happen. God can cause something funny to happen. He goes, my boss said, yeah, give it to him. He goes, it's way too much. And he said, to give it to you for the amount that you want to pay. Woo! I said, hey, that's God. Well, I might as well ask for some more because it had a regular radio. I wanted a cassette player, and it didn't have a cruise control. Yeah, so I told her, let's ask for it. I told the guy, hey, man, can you see if he'll put a cassette deck in it and maybe cruise control? And he goes, I don't think so. So he goes and asks me, comes back out. He goes scratching his head. He goes, yeah. He said, do it. So I said, praise God. So we bought the car because we were in agreement. Let me just tell you this a little bit. Some of you already heard this, but when they told me, bring the car back on Monday morning because we're going to, you know, they'll take it to the garage and we'll give you a car to drive around and everything. So I showed up Monday morning, waited all day, went back there Monday night. And the car wasn't back yet. And the lady said, yeah, they'll be here in a little bit. You know, just give them a little more minute. So there was a guy walking back and forth watching his salesman. I figured he must have been the head salesman or the supervisor or whatever. And he's walking back and forth. And then while he's looking out, the car shows up, the ones that we bought. And he wheeled around and looked at me. He goes, is that your car? I go, yes, sir. You won't buy it? He goes, hey, let me talk to you. He says, come into my office. He takes me in his back office. As soon as he closed the door, he pointed his finger at me. He says, you're a Christian, aren't you?
Yep.
And I go, yes, sir, I am. He goes, I know it. He goes, every time God tells me to make a deal for whatever those folks wanted to make the deal for, they're always Christians. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I was like, Jesus loves you, man. Jesus loves me, man. You know, praise God. You know. And he said, you know what? You know how I became the manager of this place? Listening to God? Yeah, absolutely. Listening to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it was the first car Rosie and I actually agreed on. We prayed over it. And God says, okay, boom, done deal. You see, that car deal was done already in heaven before it even got done on the earth. How many say amen to that? Amen? See, agreement with God, agreeing with your wife, agreeing with God, agreeing with your wife, agreeing with God, agreeing with your husband is a powerful thing in your marriage. Do you know that? Hopefully, everybody's going to go out of here saying, man, hey, we're never going to have a disagreement again. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. That's impossible. With God, all things are possible. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. It's a good thing. You say, man, you don't know my wife. Or you don't know my husband. But the Word of God says that your prayers can be hindered. And this is, I love this, folks, and forgive me, but this is Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And this is in the Message Bible translation. It's going to help you to understand what God is saying here, okay? All right? This is a good example of, I love this in this translation. And so this, I'm going to read this to you and listen to what God is saying about marriage. He says, here's a second offense. See, there's, God already talked to him about, hey, man, you guys are marrying people that don't know God. First offense. Now he's talking about a second offense. And he's saying, here's a second offense. You fill the place of worship with your whining and sniveling. How do you like those words? Because you don't get what you want from God. You see what he's saying? You fill the altar with whining and sniveling. How many come whining and sniveling because you're not getting from God? Listen to this. Just listen. Do you know why? Simple. Everybody say simple. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. Don't tell me God's not watching your marriage. You were there. God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride, even this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. And now you've broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. See that word covenant? God. This emphasis is on the God. God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. Listen to that. His spirit inhabits those small details. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God. Easy. He wants godly children. That's what. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Amen? Everybody look at your neighbor, look at your husband or wife and say, don't cheat. Don't cheat. Praise God. Don't cheat on your spouse. Here's what God says about. He says, what does he feel about divorce? He hates divorce. And I want you to tell you why. Says the Lord. The God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, says, I hate the violent dismembering, listen, of the what? One flesh of marriage. Ooh, can I tell you, folks, marriage is deep with God. It's a mystery. It's deep with him. I hate the dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So watch yourself. Don't let your guard down. Don't cheat. Amen? How many of you know that folks need to hear this message, that word right there today? Hey, you walking through the mall, don't cheat. Jesus said in one place, if you even look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Same with the women. You look at a guy to lust after him, you've committed adultery in your heart. God says, hey, don't disrespect your marriage. It's a beautiful thing. And God will use your marriage for his purpose and for his kingdom. And the glory of the Lord will shine on that marriage. How many say amen to that? Can you stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's no wonder that Jesus said from the beginning when they asked, can you get a divorce? Well, Moses allowed you to get a divorce, but from the beginning, it's not what God wanted. He even says it this way, because of the hardness of your heart. Folks, don't let your heart get hard toward your spouse. Is that okay? I'm going to pray for you this morning. We're going to release you to have cake. Amen. We're going to celebrate 50 years of marriage with Connie and Rick. Can we say amen to that? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for what you have spoken to our hearts today. Father, in the world that we live in, God, with the lightness of mankind thinking that there is no responsibility before God. There is no where we have to give an account, Father. We know as your children that we do have to give an account. And that, Father God, that you are serious about the things you've given to us, the covenants we've made, the covenants you've made with us. So, Father, I'm asking you that you would touch and continue to touch every heart here today. Father, I speak to every marriage in the house that it would grow stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger because of what you desire that marriage to be. I thank you for it this morning, Lord. I praise you for it. Thank you for Rick and Connie, the example they are, not only to us, but to our children, of a lifelong marriage, God, a lifelong marriage. Thank you for it, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, have some cake and hug these folks.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.